Welcome to the Vanguard Church Podcast. You're about to hear a sermon from Vanguard Church Central in the heart of Colorado Springs. With every message, it's our prayer that you hear and learn how to live out your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. May your faith be strengthened, your hope increased, and your heart inspired to live for Jesus no matter the cost. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
A story of a loving father who gets his family back. The story of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How God is furthering the mission here of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus by relaunching Vanguard Tri-Lakes. And we're going to do that this morning by looking at a character in Scripture who was a part of God's story from the very beginning. So go ahead and turn there with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, as we answer the question, how can Vanguard Tri-Lakes further the mission of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus? Genesis 12, starting in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, imagine being Abraham for a moment. You're an ancient Mesopotamian. You're 75 years old, and you have settled into life as you know it. You live in a thriving port city by the sea with a thriving economy. And you are set to inherit all that your father has worked hard for himself and all that he's inherited for himself to be able to pass on down to you. Oh, and by the way, your parents are actually idol worshipers. So you're not really used to God's being able to speak to you or inviting you into adventures for that matter. And now, all of a sudden, the God who your great-great-great, 10 generations ago, great-grandfather Noah was tight with, now has an invitation just for you. He's going to bless you. He's going to make you into a blessing. He's going to make your name great. And he's going to make you into a great nation by which he will redeem the whole earth. He's inviting you into his story. The story of getting his family back. The story of loving others into a real relationship with him. Here's all it's going to take. Leave that city. Leave your job. Leave life as you know it. Amazing invitation. Extremely radical, life-altering call of surrender. How can Vanguard Tri-Lakes further the mission of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus? Well, point number one starts with surrender. Now look, I know I'm coming out the gate swinging here. Surrender, life as you know it. But that's what it's going to take if we're going to love others into a real relationship with Jesus, if we're going to be a part of his story. And to be honest with you, that's why I started off with the whole love thing, to, you know, warm you up to the idea of surrender life as you know it. And because the more you know how deeply loved you are by Jesus, surrender doesn't necessarily get any easier. At least I don't think it does. But you at least begin to trust him more. And the more you trust him, the more you say yes to him. And the more you say yes to him, the more he invites you into his story. And spoiler alert here, but the more that he invites you into his story, the more intense it gets. And the more intense it gets, the more you need to know how deeply loved you are by him. And when Yahweh invites Abraham into his story, it's leave life as you know it behind. And when Jesus finds Peter and Andrew fishing and their means of life, their way of living, their occupation, he says, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's come and follow me. Leave life as you know it behind. Have a real relationship with me as I show you how to have a real relationship where you're loving others into a real relationship with me as well. It's a life and a story that I believe God invited me into about 8 or 9 years ago at that conference. The first night of that conference was all about how loved we are by God, how deeply rooted and established in his love we are by him. And the second night, it hit us hard. Surrender everything and go to the nations of the earth for the sake of the gospel. And so that's what I did. Surrendered everything right there and then. I said, God, I'm done living for my story. I'm ready to live for your story. I'm done trying to live by my plans. I'm ready to live for your plans for my life. I'm done trying to figure out what I think my calling is. I'm ready for you to show me what my calling is, Lord. And that wasn't just a prayer, but that prayer met the dirt. That summer, I got to go on a 3-month mission trip to Berlin, Germany that would change my life forever. So back in the summer of 2016, there was a refugee crisis in the Middle East. So refugees fled places like Afghanistan, Iran, and Syria by the millions. And they had no place to seek refuge in the Middle East, so they went over to Europe. And the way they got there was they went over through Turkey. Once they got to Turkey, they would then get on these life rafts that were designed for maybe 10 people, and they would pack them full of 25 men, women, and children. And then if they were fortunate enough to actually make it across the Mediterranean Sea, then they would land on the shores of Greece, and there they would make their way up throughout all of Europe to these different refugee camps along the way. Finally, after their 8-month journey, they would end up in Berlin, Germany. And so my church decided that instead of just praying for the crisis or instead of just sending aid to the crisis, that we would run and be the hands and feet of Jesus in the crisis. And so that's what we did. We ran towards the crisis, 50 of us, young adults and college students, and we spent our summer there. Well, we laid down our life for that summer, we surrendered our summer to Jesus, and we found ourselves in the middle of God's story. And look, it was amazing. It marked me. It marked my life for the rest of my life, and I haven't stopped living that way ever since. But what I also learned, that being a part of God's story, it comes with a cost to it. Like, there were the practicals of it, right? The financial cost to get to go do that for a summer. There was also the relational cost of leaving different relationships behind. There was an emotional cost as you're dealing with some of the most traumatic events that you've ever heard of in people's lives as they're fleeing war and different conflicts that was happening in the Middle East. And there was a spiritual warfare aspect to it as well. Like, God was refining my heart in this journey, and there was also different spiritual warfare that we had to deal with along the way. That summer marked me forever, and I learned so much, but one of the things that I really learned is that there's a cost to being a part of God's story. Listen to what Jesus says about this in Luke chapter 14, verse 25 through 30. Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and isn't able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Look, for those of you who are already on the core team at Vanguard Tri Lakes, and for those of you who are going to join us today, I want to be really clear about what you're being invited into. You're not being invited into just launching another service. You are being invited into laying your life down to have a real relationship with Jesus and so that others can have a real relationship with him as well. Now, don't get me wrong, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be one of the most exciting adventures that you've ever been a part of. You're going to be blessed by it, and God will reward you along the way. But I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a cost. So count the cost. Like, I don't feel the pressure to woo you into anything this morning. Like, I genuinely just don't feel the pressure to do that. Being a part of God's story, like, it stands on its own 2 feet. Having the privilege and the opportunity to love others and do a real relationship with Jesus, like, it speaks for itself. But here's what I do want to be clear about today. It's what you were made for. It's the life that you were made for. To not only have a real relationship with Jesus and be loved by him, but to turn around and go love others into a real relationship with him as well. But listen to what Jesus says about the life that we were made for in Matthew 10, verse 39. "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So if you truly want to live the life that you were made for, then you've got to surrender life as you know it. And look, Stasha and I, we're extremely thankful for the opportunity to get to be here. Like, it's a joy and it's a privilege for sure, but it didn't come without a cost to it. We left life as we knew it the past 10 years behind. We left lifelong friends behind. We left our church family behind. We left the church that we helped planted behind. We left the college ministry that we pastored behind. We left life as we knew it behind. And why did we do that? Because he's worthy? Yes, absolutely. Because he called us into this. And he did that through time of prayer and fasting, where he spoke through a myriad of different ways, mostly through his word. But the thing that got a hold of my heart more than anything else was during an extended fast that I was on with the Lord, and I had a dream in the night where he spoke to me very clearly, and he just kept saying over and over again, "You're supposed to be Abraham. You're supposed to be Abraham. You're supposed to be Abraham." And I woke up with the peace of the Lord for sure, but that was also daunting and overwhelming because I thought I'd already done that before. I thought I'd already left everything behind for the sake of the gospel dozens of times. But here's what I'm still learning. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a two or a three or a four-time thing. It's a lifelong journey of surrendering to Jesus over and over again. So how do we do that? How do we do that when it's daunting and overwhelming? How do we do that so it's not just a one-time thing or a two or three-time thing, but it's a lifelong journey of saying yes to him over and over again? Well, I believe that we're going to see that today in the life of Abraham. So continue with me in verses 4-9. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. How can Vanguard Tri-Lakes further the mission of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus? Point number two, just say yes to the next thing that God is asking you to do. I think it's what Abraham did from the very beginning. Leave your country and go to the land I will show you. Well, where's the land that God was going to show him? Abraham didn't know that, but he just kept saying yes to the next thing God was asking him to do. He kept saying yes when God asked him to establish an altar in the land of Canaanites. He kept saying yes as God continued to ask him to move forward and forward again and again. Now, if you know the story, and spoiler alert, if you don't know the story of Abraham, but there were definitely times when Abraham did not say yes to the next thing that God was asking him to do. There were times when he lied and he tried to shortcut the journey and the blessing and try to take it into his own hands. And when he did that, things didn't seem to go very well. But when he did, not only did he find himself blessed, but he found himself in the middle of God's story to redeem the earth. And that's what we found that summer in Germany as well. There was a leader on the team named Nate who I really looked up to a lot. He lived a radical life for Jesus. Like, he had a real relationship with him, and he was very, very effective at loving others into a real relationship with him as well. So I asked him, "What's your strategy? Like, how do you do this? What's the secret sauce to loving others into a real relationship with Jesus?" And so he had me shadow him for a day, and I found out very quickly what his strategy was, what the secret sauce was. And it was quite simply and very literally to just say yes to the next thing that God was asking us to do. So that's what we did. We'd go out for our day of outreach, and we'd go to the train station, and we'd ask God which train to get on. And we'd ask him which stop to get off on. Then we'd ask him which direction to go. And we would do that over and over again until we found like he was highlighting somebody for us to pray for. We'd then go and pray for that person. We'd ask God how we could pray for them. And then we would pray for them, and we'd see the secrets of their hearts unlocked and see them transformed. That would then give us favor, where they would then lead us in the direction of different refugee camps. We'd get to those refugee camps, and we'd do that all over again. We'd find refugees on the outside of the camps. We'd ask the Lord how to pray for them. We'd pray for them. We'd see their hearts unlocked. We'd see them physically healed as God moved in power. And then that would give us favor to get into the refugee camps themselves. We get into the refugee camps, and we do that over and over again. We'd ask God how to pray for them. We would pray for them, see their hearts unlocked, share the gospel with them, they'd give their lives to Jesus, they'd turn around and then go give that away to their family and friends in the refugee camps as well. So we just said yes to the next thing that God was asking us to do. Not only were we blessed, but we found ourselves on the very front lines of what God was doing in the nations of the earth, on the very front lines of his story. And it was amazing, and it was incredible in so many ways. And that's what our heart is. That's what we want to be able to do up at Vanguard Tri-Lakes. And look, there's a quote that I heard that's always stuck with me from a pastor that I know who's lived this life himself since he was young and about my age. It was during a time when he felt like God was speaking to him about direction for his life, and he was asking him for direction for his life. He felt like God told him this: if you'll simply obey the next thing I'm telling you to do, you will be a part of the greatest revival the world has ever seen. If you simply obey the next thing I'm telling you to do, you'll be a part of the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And that's our heart, and that's what we're going to do at Vanguard Tri-Lakes, to see others loved into a real relationship with Jesus. We're going to keep surrendering everything. We're going to keep saying yes to the next thing that God is asking us to do. I'm all for strategies. I'm all for plans. I have plans and I have strategies for evangelism and discipleship and to raise up leaders and for our services at Vanguard Tri-Lakes. But my number one strategy, my number one plan is this and will always be to say yes to the next thing that God is asking us to do. Why? Because I don't want to just see a move of man that's a flash in the pan that lasts for maybe 3 to 10 years. I want to see a move of God that's sustained by the Spirit that lasts for generations and generations to come. And the only way that we're going to see that is if we keep saying yes to the next thing that God asks us to do. And if we surrender everything and we say yes to the next thing that God asks us to do, then not only will we find ourselves blessed, but I believe that we'll find ourselves transformed into a blessing that God uses to lead others into a real relationship with him as well. We're going to continue on and jump forward in the story of Abraham to see how God did this in Abraham's life. So go ahead and jump over with me to Genesis chapter 22. So in the previous chapters, we see God make good of his promise to Abraham by blessing him with his son Isaac, the first fruits of the promise of making him into a great nation by which he will redeem the whole earth. But now God is going to test the heart of Abraham. He's going to see if Abraham was just in it to be blessed himself, or if he remembers that he's in this journey to be transformed into a blessing as well. So pick up in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I'll show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Don't lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it'll be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Like sometimes God asks us to do some really hard things that don't necessarily feel like a blessing in the moment. But it's through the things that don't necessarily feel like a blessing, if we say yes to them, God will transform us into a blessing. So how can Vanguard Tri-Lakes further the mission of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus? Well, point number three, by being transformed into a blessing. And how do we do that? Well, just like Abraham, we surrender to God and we keep saying yes to the next thing he's asked us to do, even when it's extremely difficult. And I'm convinced that that's what God is going to do through Vanguard Tri-Lakes. It's because it's what he's already been doing. About this time last year, Vanguard Tri-Lakes was put on the altar. And through a process of surrender and prayer, the elders and Pastor Kelly surrendered it to the Lord, and they just simply waited for the Lord to tell them what the next thing he wanted them to do. And it was to relaunch this location. And I believe that through that time, through them surrendering to God and saying, yes, the next thing he asked them to do, Vanguard Tri-Lakes is now the blessing that it is. And why is it a blessing already? Well, because before we've even launched out our first service, we've had somebody give their life to Jesus. And why is it going to continue to be a blessing? Well, because we have an amazing core team who is surrendering and is saying yes, the next thing God is asking them to do in the midst of so many unknowns with this location. Why? Because they want to be a part of God's story. They want to be a part of God's story of getting his family back. They want God to get his kids back in the Tri-Lakes area. And look, to be honest with you, there's about 20 of us on the core team, and there's over 44,000 different people in the Tri-Lakes area. Does that intimidate me or concern me and make me nervous? No, it honestly doesn't. Why? Because I know how God has been loving others into a real relationship. I know what he's been doing in his story. Look back at verse 17 and 18. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. How can Vanguard Tri-Lakes further the mission of loving others into a real relationship with Jesus? Point number four, through multiplication. As Jesus brings this full circle in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. God's plan of getting his family back from Abraham all the way to the Great Commission and onward still today has been through multiplication. He'll take our surrender, he'll take our obedience, he'll take our transformation, and he will multiply it. I've seen him do it time and time again. I saw him do it that summer in Germany where four streams, generations deep of discipleship were established. I seen him do that in the college ministry that we pastored where a discipleship movement took place, where leaders were multiplied over and over again, where a church was planted through it, and where other church planters were raised up through it. And that's what we're going to continue to do at Vanguard Tri-Lakes. We're going to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples and so on and so forth. And we're going to raise up leaders who raise up leaders who raise up leaders who raise up leaders who raise up leaders. And we're going to multiply small groups that multiply small groups that multiply small groups that multiply small groups. We're going to plant this church that's going to plant churches that's going to plant churches that's going to plant churches. It's what Vanguard Central has been doing for the past 27 years. Over 70 different churches have been planted through this church. We're part of the largest church planting network in the world. And statistically speaking, the most effective way to reach the lost is still to plant churches. And where we are planting a church is in one of the fastest growing areas in one of the most lost states in our nation. So just like we did in Germany, we're going to do that with Vanguard Tri-Lakes, and we're not just going to pray for the crisis. We're not just going to send aid to the crisis. We're going to run and be the hands and feet of Jesus in the crisis. We're going to be our namesake, Vanguard. We're going to be on the front lines of what God is doing in his story, to love others into a real relationship with Jesus. And that's going to take our surrender. It's going to take our obedience of saying yes to the next thing over and over again. It's going to take our transformation. It's going to take God multiplying our lives. But what it's also going to take is you, Vanguard Central. We need you. We really need you. We need some of you to pray and to support us from a distance. And we're very thankful for that, and we appreciate that. But there's others of you this morning, and maybe who are watching online, and maybe in the next service, that I believe are called to come with us. And it might not make sense to you. You might be like, I don't even live in that area. I don't really think about that area very often. But you know that God has been tugging on your hearts throughout this message. You know that he's speaking to you right now. He's asking you to surrender and say yes to the next thing so that he can transform you into a blessing and multiply your life so that others can be transformed into a real relationship with Jesus as well.
Thanks for listening to the Vanguard Central podcast. We encourage you to go out and live your faith in real relationship with Jesus and with others. God bless you, friend. See you next time.